Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. My name is Pamela Modena. Thanks very much to Gugu. She'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. We're going to be together until 10 today. Lots to talk about. We're going to be speaking about the fires, unfortunately, in KZN. We'll speak about Trump's shooting over the weekend. But I want to start here. Minister Senzo Mkhunu today called a press briefing just to give us a sense of what their plans are in the cluster, what their plans are in the department, where he'll be obviously politically heading the Department of Police. And so he does join us on the line with us this evening. A very good evening, and thank you so much for making time for us, Minister.
Good evening to you and to the listeners.
Well, this was a very important briefing, as you gave us a sense of what it is that you were able to discuss with the the very key people in your department. High level, you seem to be quite concerned about obviously crime, organized crime, and you went through some of the things that you feel needed to be done. Your sense of where you would have to start, because some of the things that you are putting forward, I'm assuming, would be quite long term.
Yes. Where we have to start is to tackle high murder rates in our country, because it is in the glare of the public. It worries the public. It sickens all of us. It makes us look bad as a country, like anyone who wants to commit murder can just do that at will, anywhere, anytime. That's the main concern. Of course, that, as you say, relates to other things, do you have equipment? Do you have this and that to take? But just to answer you straight away, we are extremely concerned about high levels of crime. That is not to say that we are not concerned about rape, and other murders and other criminal cases and offenses. We are concerned about all of them. But I'm just saying upfront, yes. This is the main thing.
The things that you feel immediately would have to be reviewed, one of the things that you're saying that you'd have to quickly get onto is reviewing the South African Police Service Act, that it is outdated. Just high level, what are the things that stand out to you that need to be adjusted with that act?
On technology, because there was somewhere where I didn't hear you. I'm talking about technology.
No. The Police Service Act itself. It is outdated, and yes, you are very concerned about that. Yep.
Yes, the police Act. We are not through yet, but we've observed some of the things that things, for instance, that the Police Act make many references to the transitional period in South Africa, that is the interim constitution. Obviously, there's a disjuncture there. But there are areas that will come out with once we've done the comprehensive analysis and a look. And it certainly needs to be brought to date, because it's quite outdated just in that area, as an example.
Weeding out corruption within the police would be one of the things that I think will be of a priority to you, and it becomes quite complex with all the things that you'll throw at the police, money, technology and so on. You still would have to manage the corruption within. Your suggestions on how you want to manage that?
Firstly, let me just indicate that I'm quite worried about this, but that's not to say that it's so dominant, it characterizes South African police. But I don't want to underplay it either.
Sure.
And that's the first thing. The second thing is that wherever it happens, whenever it happens, whoever does that, it needs to be stamped out completely, because this is man-made. It's like a luxury sin where you are not compelled to commit corruption. If you are a policeman in the first place, because you train to stamp corruption out. You are the authority. You represent the state. But when you get found acting contrary to that, obviously it was a mistake to recruit you. And there's no need, really, for police to commit on these matters and embarrass themselves and so on. So we are saying we're worried about these incidents of corruption, and they tarnish all our image and they defeat all our efforts to stamp out corruption even elsewhere if the very same police are corrupt. And therefore, we are in agreement with the National Police Commissioner, General Masimola, that we just have to confront this. And it's not something that they are going to be doing for the first time now that I've arrived, but they are doing it. All we will need to do is to, if there are gaps, if there are areas of strengthening, we will do so so that in future there's no doubt where we stand as a minister.
You raised concerns about one of the things that you say needs to get urgent attention is your concern around gang violence in particular hotspots. You spoke about the Western Cape, you spoke about parts of Gauteng. And you know, how far are you with that specialized team to getting to announcing something tangible?
We are not far, not at all far, but we'll let you know. But these areas, we're talking about very, very, very ugly scenes where people, instead of sleeping, they had to sit and wait for guns. They're blazing all over. They've got to wait for somebody who can come anytime, terrorize them. And these are gangs who shoot at random. People get killed by bullets, stray bullets, and so on. So you can't have a situation like that, obviously. That is our worry. And Western Cape is not the only area. We are informed about similar ugly scenes in Nelson Mandela and in some parts of Gauteng. So this, as we move on, I'm sure, even on a smaller scale, we'll discover other areas, similar areas. Now, we are determined to deal with this situation.
Minister, you raised concerns around the number of guns just in Sustenance. I'm also assuming that illegal guns are an issue for you. You do want, though, to review the regulations of getting access to a gun. Just probably for us, if you can elaborate on that for us.
Guns are cell phones that people need to carry around individually for use to communicate with other people. Guns are dangerous instruments. They are killer instruments. They are things that we don't want to see in society, carried not only by people who are who know how to use them, even people who have licenses. We don't want to see guns. That's the first thing. Except if they are police men and if they are related to security companies and all of that. But in South Africa, there are too many people who are carrying guns. In some cases, not just one. These guns are being carried even by people who have no sense and have no purpose of carrying them. And then they use them at random. And to a large extent, these are guns that have, that are not licensed. These are carried by people who have not trained who have no legitimacy to have to carry firearms. And so, they are just too many people who are dangerous to the lives of people. And these are the people who kill at random and so on. So, having said, having expressed the worry on that matter, we are then going to finalize how to build on the existing plans to continue. First, you have to know the route. that through which these guns get to South Africa, and how it gets done, and then how does it get these guns get distributed, and you have to look for them. And I'm just talking about the value chain. All of that means that we really need to spend that on. And what is good is that police forums and people out there, they know who has unlicensed firearms. They know the people who are marauding and are killing people using these guns. And people who are just generally violent. And this is what we are sharpening our system on, to say, all right, having dealt with issues at a high level, we now want to go down. I spoke about having functional police stations. We've had very disturbing reports of some of the police stations that are dysfunctional. That's why, in some cases, I was asking during orientation, what is a police station? What's a functional police station? What are the characteristics of a functionalist? So people are taking advantage of some of those things, these lapses, and they carry guns. And even when people report them that so-and-so has a firearm and so on, they will tell you nothing gets done. And these are the things that we need to turn around. And this is not rocket science.
Yeah.
It's just us prepared to do our job of protecting people in South Africa, and one of the ways is to remove these illegal firearms.
You know, you just mentioned, Minister, functional police stations. And I mean, we've been hearing reports of police stations that get private security to secure the police station. We saw recently, I think it was yesterday, where policemen had gone and actually tried to deal with a crime, and just on their return, they were attacked. And we know that a lot of the guns that are out there, you spoke of another way in which, you know, we've made sure that we need to deal with the guns that are in the on the ground. But there are guns that are on the ground that come from the police, that have been taken from the police, who've been robbed. Do you believe, and in your assessment, whether this is it about the training of the police, the capacity of what they're able to do, or do you think it's something else?
Well, look, when you talk about lost guns via anyway, like you're talking about Bizana and what happened, that that unfortunate incident that happened there, that's one of the issues that are worrying us, where police fall into prey by criminals. And they take guns, and these guns are then going to add on the guns that are already in the street. Had we had it our way, we wouldn't lose any gun from any police station, from any serving member. Instead, these are the members who must recover these guns that are on the street. But and therefore, We have already started looking at this, to say, and other people are saying, look, you need to think about technology of at least quick recovery of firearms once, for some reason, a state issue get lost in one way or the other. But police stations need to be also secured. But also policemen themselves and police women need to responsibly carry firearms as a part of the trade. And then, so that we all face what is on the street, which is the real problem. So it's unfortunate that we lose so many guns, and therefore something needs to be done on it, because society will say, how do you fight guns on the illegal carrying of firearms on the street when you yourselves are contributing? And therefore, we need to clean our house. But I'm not saying that we'll wait until we clean our house before we tackle. And police are out there recovering these illegal firearms, and they're working on them, and we commend them for that. But it just means that we have to step up our actions. I know that I've even learned that there's a law that prevents police for random checks in a village, in a complex or something like that. That's unfortunate because it limits possibility where you can actually discover large firearms if you have some leads that this area has a lot of firearms, even if you can't say it is this house or that house. And instead of just dealing with that situation, now you have to be limited. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be dealing with this particular situation. We are going to deal with it.
You spoke a bit about upskilling the police, of course, bringing in new cohort of police, but upskilling, regular upskilling of the police. I don't know what happens in police training, I must be honest, Minister. But and I get the sense that people are trained to keep us safe. That's the sense I have. But the reality on the ground is that oftentimes you'd hear people say, I went to the police station and the police person that I, the constable that I came across, could not take down a statement. And unfortunately, that has got a ripple effect in getting justice for society. And those are some of the little things that one wonders whether they're being considered at the moment. Yes, it's not probably part of police training, maybe it's administrative, but it's a very, very important part of what needs to be taken into account when we have to deal with overall crime and making sure that people are prosecuted.
Yes, ordinarily it is expected that when you go to a police station, you'll find a policeman who can't write or can't take a statement at this age. And I'm aware that when recruitments are done, matric certificate at least is by and large a minimal entrance for recruitments at constable level. But when we come across such incidents, of course, we are going to say that situation must change. That person would require training because you can't fire them. They're already policemen. Mm. They would need to be trained. They would need to be... we will need to accept that it's an unfortunate situation and they need to do something about it because that policeman can found himself or herself alone in a police station and then people come there and they don't get the service. Part of improving service delivery would to make sure that at least by, at all material times, there must be somebody who is able to take statements in a police station. That is part of what we are going to demand as a norms and standards in a functional police station.
I may have missed your response, Minister, when I asked you about just, you know, what sometimes happens, what we hear happens at a police station, where we're now finding that private security companies are hired to protect police stations. In your sense, what do you think is going on there?
Well, when they are, where security companies are hired to guard police stations.
Correct, yes.
Well, it would mean that there would have been a lot of thinking and a lot of assessments done. There are communities where such would be required just because police stations be
available. Oh, Minister, we missed you there. If you don't mind, just repeating what you're saying. You are saying there are communities.
I'm saying there are situations.
Yes.
Where an assessment would result into a conclusion that say this is strong from there from and so on. And therefore, in order to secure the police station, the firearms that are there, the police that are there, this is the measure that, and it will be based on assessments and perhaps incidents before that. But it's not a norm that police stations need to be guarded and need to have security because that is a costly exercise, of course. But I can't say That should not be done all over, even where assessments clearly show that we have to do it. Of course, while doing that, we need to be working on communities as well to say, you are the ones who should be securing this police station, these police, instead of them having to cushion themselves against you. So that they protect all of you.
Except that must be problematic, Minister. It doesn't matter what the scenario is, that we now have to outsource security to private security companies. It can't be right. It cannot be that we rely heavily on the skills of the security company over the skills of the security that we are supposed to rely on as a state.
It just can't be right. I agree with you. It can't be permanent either.
Sure.
It can be a permanent feature of a functional police station.
Mm-hmm.
We must make means of ensuring that we have enough capacity to protect police stations ourselves while doing the work and giving people services. But where threats are overwhelming while we do that, I'm not ruling out that, but I agree with you. It doesn't look good. It doesn't inspire confidence in police if we continue to do that and do that permanently.
You spoke about actual infrastructure. I'm assuming that you'd have to do a lot of a lot of relationship building between yourselves, public works, so that we get those police stations functional. You said a lot of the police are complaining about the state of the actual police stations themselves. You'd have to bring in new technology and so on, so on. So just maybe give us a sense of how deep the problem is. You said you got this quite a lot in your discussions with the people on the ground?
Yes. What's your question?
You were saying that with your engagements over the past week, you got a sense that there really was a concern about the state of the infrastructure in the police station.
Oh, yes.
It's a concern for you.
It is. I continue to get it even after the press briefing. Somebody was telling me in KwaZulu-Natal, there's a police station that has been abandoned. You now find goats there because it's dilapidated, which means that it deteriorated to a point where it got abandoned. Now, there are police stations that are a real worry. That's why, infrastructure-wise,
yes,
we have already taken a resolution that we want to deal with this matter, and police and the national commissioner will be making a presentation in the near future just on what needs to be done, because it's not only a question whether there are such situations that are wanting and where we are found wanting on the administrative side, but it's now the how part. How do we get rid of this? Because it's man-made, and it's a woman-made. In other words, it's a human error that we should have such dilapidation as part of our infrastructure. We just have to come up clear with a mechanism, not only on maintenance of police stations, but of building more police stations. Once we've identified the need to build a police station somewhere, and then it will be maintained. Otherwise, it punishes our image.
The construction mafia issue keeps coming up. You're saying there definitely should be mechanisms in place that people can use to deal with, acquiring business and so on. Obviously, they haven't been doing that. Your sense of where you'd have to start to definitely quell this?
It's a worry. You see, South Africa needs to build in its infrastructure as part of economic growth fast, very, very, very fast, if we are to tackle unemployment, if we are to tackle lack of development, especially in rural areas, and if we are to do repairs and so on. This needs to be done without any interference whatsoever from anybody. And there are mechanisms, as I mentioned, that people who want work, people who want to be employed, people who want tenders, that is a part of what we are doing, empowering people in a transparent way. And they need to follow procedures of doing that. This practice of pointing guns to people on sites, it's actually criminality. There's no other way of because you can say government wants to build a school here, and there's a procedure, and government advertises work, and you don't apply, you don't do anything, you just go to site and you do this thing and becoming a mafia. And I think it's a very crude test of the power of this. Because if we don't tackle it now, this thing is going to grow. And already it has grown. And in some cases, there are areas where you go, you get told stories. No, this here, it is done, and it is led by so-and-so. Now those things must come to an end.
Minister, for a while now, there seemed, and let me speak specifically about Johannesburg, there seemed to be some tensions between the MetroCops and the SAPS, where we find that there really isn't proper collaboration in sting operations because there are some tensions there. Now, you would have to go and find out what those tensions are about, but what we know is that they've leaked into the media space and they've actually told us that themselves. It's a problem because we obviously have infrastructure that needs to be protected, and sometimes you would have whether it's Joburg Water or City Power officials going out to try and deal with infrastructure issues, and they don't have support from the SAPS because the metros themselves can only have so much capacity. You see that also in the abandoned mines. Just your sense of what has to happen to just deal with those issues, because they do hamper service and they don't get us anywhere.
These are questions that include ego, because if there is crime and people are suffering, and we are really concerned, all of us at all levels, we should pay in our guns and all types of energy that we have to where the problem is. The problem is criminality, and we should worry less about relations between SAPS and Metro Police. We should do away with egos. We should find one another, and as I say, train our energies on criminality on the ground. And I don't think it's something that is impossible to tackle, because this is not like bread, where you say if SAPS work their way into Johannesburg, as an example, chasing criminals and so on, they're eating your bread, or vice versa. We just have to find mechanisms to synergize the work, because Metro Police are a resource of the state, and SAPS are the resource of the state, and we should collaborate and fight criminals so that they don't exploit those gaps and those tensions. It's not necessary, absolutely not necessary.
The issue of this illegal mining that's happening, that's obviously a concern. Unfortunately, we saw, we've lost now three armies. Our soldiers were lost in a container that was obviously guarding an abandoned shaft. We've got to find another way to sustainably look after those mines. And I'm assuming that it wouldn't just be your job. It would also be the responsibility of Minerals and Energy and other departments as well, just so that when you do get to secure the abandoned mine, something gets done. It's closed off. You can move on. And also so that we don't waste resources on getting the army there.
Well, I can't speak for the Department of Mining, but I imagine that it is their work, their job, to ensure that any operating mine, as and when they stop doing so, there is work that they need to do as per legal requirements. But now that the matter is upon us, where such gaps have opened, it is necessary that we collaborate with the Department of Mining.
Yes.
And take specific actions on this. The existence of illegal miners in our country is something that should not have happened in the first place, especially when they are foreigners. But at the same time, it's not something that is completely and comprehensively ugly in some cases. There are instances where our discussion would need to say, how do we have a discussion with whosoever is the owner or was the owner or is the new owner of the mine, such that what these miners see and believe that it can support their lives is done lawfully, as opposed to what is happening now. What is happening is wrong in terms of illegal mining, as the name says, zamazamas and all of that. So there may be a portion of this that may need to be normalized, where it makes sense to do so.
Yes.
But overall, it's something that we need to eliminate.
Yes. I imagine you're speaking about artisanal mining and those kind of discussions.
Yes, we will have those discussions with the Department of Mining, with the Minister in particular.
I appreciate your time, Minister. Thank you. Thank you very much for making time for us this evening.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
That's
thank you so
Minister
much.
Of Police, Police.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.